the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week, we were in the Gospel of Matthew and we were looking at that Great Commission and we were told to go. We were told to go and make disciples, and we are the ones who are sent out into the world. And then I spent some time that morning in Matthew chapter 10. If you went back and looked at where I was, we were in chapter 10. And in that particular chapter, where we finished off this morning, hearing about the rewards, he is also telling his disciples that whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave the house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. So the disciples are sent, but they go somewhere, don't they? There is a house, there is a town, there is a people who must at some point receive them, who must at some point welcome them. And what Jesus is telling us in this passage this morning is that whoever welcomes who is sent welcomes Christ and welcomes the one who sent Christ, who is God the Father. And then whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of the prophet, he goes on to say, will receive a prophet's reward. If you receive someone in the name of a righteous person, you will receive the reward of the righteous. So there's something about receiving. Because I imagine some might have been sitting here when I was telling you to go, that you are sent, you were thinking, but I can't go. I can't. This is where I am in my life right now. These are the things that are limiting me from going anywhere. How can I be a disciple if I can't go? She's saying go and I can't. So how will I follow God's law or God's grace or God's love or God's will upon my life if I can't go? She's saying that's what I'm supposed to do. The Great Commission's saying I'm supposed to do that. Well, this morning's gospel lesson tells us the other part of that. The receiving part. That at some point, a community has to be there to receive. That part of the grace of being the body of Christ, the community of believers, is we are also the body that receives those who are sent. That we are the body that nurtures one another, nurtures those who are going. So maybe our gift isn't the gift to go, but the gift to receive. Think about the receptions that you've been to. Think about the people who plan those receptions. Think about the people who make sure when you arrive at that reception, everything is there, that you are felt welcome, that the food nourishes your body, that your soul is at rest when you are received. That is a gift. The gift to be the ones who receive and care for and nurture those who are sent. But it's also a gift to care for one another, is it not? As we share with one another and support one another, maybe our gift is to receive that gift of grace that others will bestow upon us when we are in a time of need. To say thank you, Lord, for the gift that is being given, we have to be good people to receive. But receptions are hard, aren't they? They're hard to be that one in that place of honor. And oftentimes we think, well, we're only going to honor those who are worthy of being honored. Have you ever seen a church get ready for a district superintendent to show up? Have you ever heard the buzz when they, oh, do you see he's here? He's here or she's here. And everyone's suddenly behaving as they ought to behave, and they don't want their pastor or whoever isn't leading them to look bad in front of their district superintendent. Or those of you who have been in the military when the general arrives and everyone snaps too because the general is there. Well, what about the ones who show up every now and then to worship, that we long for them to be in this place, but they're not here? What happens when they do show up? What happens when Henry Brown is in our place? How do we greet him? Do we snap to for Henry the way we snap to for our district superintendent? Or when we see Fran Leek joining us in worship, do we make her feel like she's just come to a reception because she is here? Well, what about even someone as absolutely wonderful as Chance? What if he were just to walk in? Do you know a Chance? Someone who just chanced by and just happened to see this place, and maybe Chance doesn't quite look like us, and maybe Chance doesn't come from a families we know, but just by chance he came into our worship space. How do we greet him? Do we snap to? Do we greet him and offer a reception that we are so, so glad that Chance came to worship with us this morning? Jesus reminds us that even giving a cup of cold water to these little ones, the least of my followers in some of the translations, in the name of a disciple, if we give that cup, none will lose their reward. We've talked often about being a community church, and if we read the front of our bulletins, we are the receivers. We say, to all who are weary and need rest, to all who are lonely and need a friend, to all who are sick and seek Christ's healing power, to all who sin and need a Savior, this church opens wide its doors and in the name of Christ our Savior bids you welcome. Our gift is the gift of reception. Our gift is to be able to create a space that anybody who by chance came into this space would experience the love of community, because we know how to love one another. And God asks us to continue to grow that love to the point that we don't know where the boundary of church begins and community ends, and suddenly, it isn't by chance that our pews are full. It is by the will of the Lord that all are welcomed here. But I think we all want that important visitor to come. So I want to tell you a story this morning about a man who was a shoemaker. He was called Father Martin, and it was Christmas time, and he was making shoes, and he had made these beautiful tiny shoes of white, of the softest leather that he possibly could make, with bright silver buckles. And he said, I would give the Lord, if the Lord would come here, I would give him my finest work. And he blew out his candle and went to bed that Christmas Eve night, and hardly able to close his eyes. And I can imagine Martin, because if the Lord spoke to me in the middle of the night, I'd be scared. But he hears this voice and he says, Martin, Martin. And he immediately knows who it is. He says, Martin, you have wished to see me. Tomorrow I shall pass by your window. If you see me, bid me enter, and I will be a guest at your table. So he didn't sleep much that night. He was so excited. He couldn't wait for morning. And he got up that morning and he swept the house. He got it all ready for Christ to come and visit him. And it was, You know how much work it takes to make your house ready for a good visitor to come. Gwen just experienced that this week. So he got his shop all ready, and he made sure his best clothes were on, and he sat in that window, and he was ready, looking for him to come. The linen table was spread. A brand new loaf of bread that he got from Judy, all baked and ready to be eaten, was there, and a jar of honey and a pitcher of milk, and yeah, pot of tea on the fire. He knew I wasn't coming because he would have made coffee. And he waited, and he waited. And as he's watching, a street sweeper passes by, and the man's hands are all gnarled, and it was cold. And he says, oh, he must be half frozen. And he calls him in, and he says, come in, my friend. Sit down by the fire, and here, have a cup of hot tea. And the man accepts the invitation and receives that cup of hot tea. And then a little bit later, Martin's looking out that window looking for Jesus, and this woman carrying this baby, but her clothes were ragged, and he sees her, and he thinks, oh, my goodness, she needs some shelter. Come in, come in. And so he welcomes her in, and then he notices her baby. Baby doesn't have shoes, and those beautiful shoes he made, he puts on the baby's feet. The woman gets clean shoes, she gets fed, and off they go. She was sad and lonely because her husband was at sea and she was ill and alone. So then while he's at his post, once again he sees this person and that person with a need, and he keeps bringing them in and making sure they're fed, making sure they got shoes, he's making sure whatever happens to that person crossing that street comes in. Night comes, Jesus never came. So he's getting ready for bed. He's a little disappointed. He'd waited all day to see his Savior. And so, as he climbs into bed and he begins his prayers, he hears another voice. And as he hears that voice, the room gets lit with bright, bright light. And he opens his eyes, and before him there appear one by one the street sweeper, the mother and her child, and all the people he had aided that day. And each of them smiled and said to him, have you not seen me? Did I not sit at your table? And then they vanished. At last, out of the silence, he heard this gentle voice giving him an old passage from Scripture. Whosoever shall receive one such in my name receiveth me. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was athirst, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. Christ's words this morning, and whoever gives you even a cup of cold water, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The gift of hospitality, the gift of reception. May it be our gift to the community in Bobbitt. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our hymn of commitment this morning.